Reading.
Our reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. Also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here what is belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold for him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please be seated. Well, good morning. My name's Paul Milam. I'm a lay minister here at Buckingham Parish Church. So, here we are in November. It's a month of remembering, isn't it? We've had remember the 5th of November, although it was a bit of a damp squib, I think, this year, wasn't it? And then last Sunday was Remembrance Sunday, with all its associations with two world wars and many conflicts since, commemorating all those who gave their lives for crown and country. And today we're remembering a parable that Jesus told. Let's pray first. Father God, thank you for your word and all that it means to us. Help us as we look through this parable today that we may gain fresh insights into what, not only what it meant to those who heard it first, but what it can mean to us today and what effect it should have on our lives day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we might think of the parable of the talents as a picture Jesus was painting of what would happen after he leaves the earth, before which he entrusts his followers with different gifts. What might he expect when he comes back? By the way, a talent, this is the parable of the talents, although the version we heard talked about bags of gold, but let's think about talents. It's the version most of us remember, I think. A talent was worth about 2 years' wages, a very valuable sum of money. A talent was not actually a coin, but it was a weight. So its value varied as to whether it was a weight of gold or a weight of silver or possibly a weight of copper. Silver was actually the most usual use of it, the most common use. So to be given 5 talents must have proved you were highly thought of. We might think of it as perhaps today £250,000. I mean, that's quite a lot, isn't it? We use the word talent these days not to imply a sum of money, but a gift or a skill. And this parable is actually the origin of our use of the word talent, used in that way. When we were in St. Mark's Church in Leamington, one preacher told us that as a congregation, we have together all the gifts we need to grow God's kingdom here in Leamington. And they likened it to a cake being made, each of us supplying the necessary ingredients to bake the very best cake we could. I remember overhearing one of the congregation say in response, "If we're supposed to have all the ingredients, how come all the currants are down the road at St. Paul's Church?" The point is, St. Mark's cake will be different from St. Paul's cake, but it will be the best cake that can be made, provided everyone uses their gifts and contributes their ingredients. You see, when we became Christians, the Holy Spirit bestowed one or more special gifts on us, spiritual gifts, which are to be used for the extension of God's kingdom. This would be in addition to whatever natural talents or human abilities we already had. And God uses both natural abilities and spiritual gifts if we're willing to surrender them to him, although not always in the way we expect. You've probably heard of John Wimber, one of the founders of the Vineyard Church, who before his conversion was a salesman and in his spare time a musician and a songwriter. You might expect God would have used his ability, his musical abilities, but in fact it was his salesmanship which came to the fore when he became an evangelist, leading hundreds of people to Christ. God uses both our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts, so we may be better equipped and more effective in his service. Whatever gift he decides to use, we need to offer all of them to him. Of course, we're not all called to be evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses, to share our story with others we meet, family, friends, colleagues. Jesus' last words on earth in the Great Commission, "Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them all I have commanded you." So we are to make best use of all the gifts that God has given us. As it's still November, let's remember why we are here. Note that the word we use for witness is a translation of the Greek word martus, from which we get the word martyr, one who witnesses with their life. How far are you willing to go for Jesus' sake? You might remember how far Jesus went for your sake. Let's try and bring this parable up to date a bit. Can you picture this interview? The managing director of a big company calls three trusted employees into his office and asks them to sit down. "I have some news for you," he said. "I'm going away for quite a time, not sure quite how long, but I'll be out of touch. I want you three to take over the running of the business. Helen, I want you to be in charge, with James as your chief assistant, and George to help you both while I'm away. Helen, you will take over corporate affairs. James will handle the production side, and George all the technical issues and IT. Any questions?" And that was that. Each was given a role and responsibilities together with a budget commensurate with their own performance and abilities. And off went the boss. Well, you can anticipate the outcome for yourself. When the boss returned, the first two had managed to double turnover in their departments. But the third, having done nothing, everything was exactly as it was when the boss left. And you can just imagine Alan Sugar pointing his finger and saying, "George, you're fired." In the original story that Jesus told, it's clear that most of the emphasis is actually placed on the useless servant, the third one. It's also fairly clear that Jesus was taking a bit of a swipe at the scribes and Pharisees in their attitude to the law. Just as the third servant buried his talent in the ground, the Jewish hierarchy kept the law exactly as it was and built a fence around it. Any change, anything new, all that was anathema. Any new interpretation, that was resisted. The result was a paralysis of religious truth. And Jesus is pointing out that there can be no true religion without adventure and risk. And we should not close our minds to new possibilities. Certainly the first two servants would have had to have taken risks in order to make a profit. I think we can draw for today four lessons from this story. First, God gives each of us different gifts. In the parable, one received five talents, another two, and another one. God doesn't demand from us what we cannot give, but he does expect us to fully use wisely and well, the abilities and gifts we have been given. Notice that the returning master's words of praise for the first two were word for word identical, despite the difference in the amount they were given. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Of course, each, in their instance, made a profit of 100%. That was the increase. So we're not equal in talent, but we can be equal in effort. Let me say that again. We are not equal in talent, but we can be equal in effort. Whatever gifts we have, we need to bring them before God for his use, and then, of course, give him 100%. Secondly, we learn that the reward for work well done is more work. The two servants who had done well are not told to sit back and enjoy what they'd earned. Rather, they're given even more responsibility. "I will put you in charge of many things," said the master in verse 21 and verse 23. Our work for God's kingdom continues to the very end of our life. Just as we remain learning disciples, so we remain working servants all our lives. Thirdly, the one who was punished was the one who wouldn't try. You often hear on the news those accused of bad things, they say, "I've done nothing wrong." Well, that's not the point here. The question is not what you haven't done, but what good have you done? The man with one talent didn't lose or squander his talent. He did nothing wrong because he simply did nothing. We may be tempted to think in the same way. "I've got so little I can offer to God. I'm really not good at anything. And my contribution will be so small anyway. There's no point in trying." That's not the best Christian attitude, nor was it the way Christ operated. We were all put on this earth to be on active service, to achieve things for God. Let's remember why we're here. And fourthly, the conclusion Jesus draws from the parable is that the one who has will be given more, and the one who has not will lose even what little he had. Think of it this way. If you have a skill and you use and develop it, it will improve and you'll grow better at it and become more useful to society. If you have a skill but you neglect it, you will get rusty and you'll lose the knack. I occasionally play golf, not very well, but some years ago I had a lesson from a golf pro, and I asked him during one lesson, as I strove to master my swing, which wasn't very good, how many times would I need to practice my swing until it more or less became second nature? He thought of it and he said, about 10,000. Oh, so much for my swing getting any better. We need to use the abilities we have and been given in God's service and in the service of other people, or we become much less skilled in them and less used to him. And perhaps a fifth lesson from this parable is that we can't stand still in the Christian life. We either gain or we lose what we have. We either advance to greater heights or we slip back. Our first reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul is warning the church about being ready for the last days. It's about being and remaining faithful to God. After all, look at everything he's done for us. Can we, dare we, do less than our best? Watch and pray and work. Someone said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. In verses 10 and 11 in this Thessalonians reading, says this: Christ died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let's do that. Encourage one another to do even better things for God, so we may see real growth in his kingdom here in Buckingham and beyond. Let's remember why we're here. We've already seen that the three given the talents were expected to take risks in order to make a profit. Are you willing to take risks for God? To maybe go out of your comfort zone for his sake? Someone said this: the gospel is not something we come to church to hear. It's something we go from church to tell. So your challenge this week: next time you meet with someone, and it might be on Zoom even, remember to see that meeting as an opportunity sent by God for you to share your faith and talk about God. Not forcing the issue, naturally introducing God into the conversation. Perhaps sharing something he has done for you recently. So to sum up, do you know what gifts you have? And more to the point, are you using them wisely and well? Are you ready for that day when Jesus will return? There can surely be no greater reward than this. On the last day, you hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this parable and its meaning for us today. We pray that you would teach us to use all that we have in your service day by day. Not to sit back and wait, but to be proactive in telling others the story of Jesus and how he has helped us in our own lives. May this week be a week where we are given the opportunity, and we seize it, to talk about Jesus to those who don't know him, so that your kingdom may grow, your word goes forth and does not return empty. And so bless us this week in all that we say and do for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.